Hey, what is good? How's it going, Candy Diners? It's your boy, Ify Wadiwe, sitting here. The current time is 12:54 a.m. Just had a long day of work. Currently writing for a show. Then after that, drove straight to the studio in Burbank to film Super Punch live on Twitch, hosted by me on Monday through Thursday. And I came home. Got home, threw a hot za in the microwave, heated it up, sat in front of my computer to record this, and then ate the pizza, realized it was very delicious, decided to go put some seconds in there. Heated that up, ate that, contemplated putting, some more pizza in, but I was like, ah, it's almost about to be one. It'd be weird to have like that many pizzas. And I told myself I'm going to gym in the morning, so I feel like that would just kill that vibe because I'm gonna be like, damn, I ate all that pizza, I might as well sleep in. So decided against it, finally sat down, and now we're recording this episode. But it's just me because, there's two members of Candy Dinner, the podcast, but only one of them is dedicated to the brand, and you're listening to them right now. Welcome to Candy Dinner with Matt and Iffy. Sometimes Matt, always Iffy. I'm your host, Iffy, and I'm just, sitting here just having a solo chat with myself. I just want something for y'all to listen to. Because I said we're going to be more regular in the new year, and then, you see it happens. I mean, you might say, oh, damn, can't y'all plan for it? Yeah, that's what I thought, but it seems like not really. Now, you might listen to, You Song and Kevin's podcast and heard their guest this week is Matt. He went ahead and recorded that. He made the time for that. Funny, huh? Funny how life works. But I'm done talking about Matt. I think he had enough. I mean, he already this is too much talking for him. I guess we could just fill you in. I mean, it's been a while since I saw y'all. I mean, I did Sketchfest, which, I told you all about. And that was real fun, It was real chill. It was a good time. I went up, and not only was I just out there doing Sketchfest comedy stuff, but I was able to, like, do it all. Like, I went up, I was chatting with Twitch. We were planning out stuff for this show that's now live. You can tune in nightly and check me out. But we were doing that, but then also, had a show with White Women. That was great. And then I did Justin Michael, friend of the pod. He has a podcast called Batman the Animated Podcast. And we were just talking about Batman. We had a special guest on that. His name was Maurice Santing. Maurice Santing. Let me get his name right because I need to put some respect on his name. He is a legend and he will be addressed as such. Here it is. With Maurice LaMarche. Who voiced a character on the show and does a million voices. And then the day after the White Women show, I did Voyage to the Stars with, Felicia Day and company. It was a fun trip all around. And then the bonus, because I was up there a couple extra days to meet with Twitch, the bonus was that I was actually able to pull up and my boy Andrew Orlofo, definitely a roleful. Definitely go support him, check his comedy out. He's very funny, but also he had me on his show. He's just one of those cool people. There's some people who like you hit them up, you're like, I'm in your city, and then they're like, okay, cool, what's good? And you have to like go back and forth with them, and then maybe they give you a spot. Not Andrew. I told him I was in the city. I pulled up just to hang out. Like, I legit was coming through to hang out to support the brand because I honestly, if I'm gonna drag other people, I'm gonna drag myself. I don't do that enough. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna just go and I'm gonna go hang. And like, I pull up and my name is on the lineup. He just threw me on there. He's like, yeah, son, I got you. So always all respect. As a matter of fact, on the next episode, he's probably going to be the guest just because he's in LA now. And he's on my mind right now. And I'll probably just ask him. But I do his show. So then I feel good. I do the Sketchfest hat trick. I mean, this show wasn't part of Sketchfest, but I mean, my trip, you know. It was a hat trick. I did improv, a podcast, and I also did some stand-up. Great show. It was a banger of a show, and it was a fun time all around. But now I'm feeling whew-wee, good. But yeah, today was a long day. I'm writing for a show, but probably by the next episode, I'll be able to say what show it is. But for now, I'll keep it low-key. And that's been fun. It's been a fun challenge, like, knowing that I was going to do something like this, because I came into this knowing that I was going to be going from one job to the next, but I wanted to do it for two reasons. One, I love a challenge, and two, I like money, and both those things. And it really is a trip for me, because I do remember this time last year, I was on the pod kind of being like, ugh, I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know how I'm doing. And now I'm at the position where I'm like, I have two dope gigs. So kudos to me. I feel good about that. But shit, there's like so much going on. I mean, like I said, it's a Tuesday. Not Tuesday. It's a Monday. Well, Tuesday morning, technically, it's 1 now. But, you know, we had the caucus. I still don't know how it works. I thought it was just, if I'm keeping it all the way funky with y'all, I thought it was just the same as everything else. And then everyone's saying that this is an outdated system and this, that. And I saw a video of them doing a coin toss to see if Buttigieg or Warren won a district. Which, by the way, let me talk about that. When in the fuck did Buttigieg even become a player? Like, I thought this dude was dust, and then all of a sudden he's like toe-to-toe with Warren and Bernie, and I'm like, what is this dude doing? Like, what's going on? Like, if anything made me believe in bots, it's definitely Buttigieg still being in the game, because I remember all of us clowning his ass. He's like that kid you bully. I was gonna say he's like that kid you bully and he comes back and shoots up the school. But that's what it feels like. He's about to shoot up America with his badass policies. Honestly, in the end, still will probably be better than Trump. Let's keep it all the way funky. But I don't know. I don't like the fact. He's definitely using tactics I don't like. But yeah, somehow he's a big player in this. And today we found out that he put money into this app that was used for the caucus that was, you know, breaking down and just essentially just scamming. So people love a hashtag. The people love a hashtag, but they are calling him Mayor Cheat. So, wow. This is crazy. And then I just pulled up another picture that says Iowa Democratic caucus, too early to call. And it seems like 91% of the Iowa voters were white, which sounds like Iowa, you know? Oh man, this is a mess. I think this is going to be a mess because honestly, you can quote me on this. On the year of our Lord 2020, the 4th of February, I think Bernie's gonna take it, and I don't know what bullshit tricks are gonna be up people's sleeves if he does. Truly, like, I don't even know. But yeah, people are having a field day dunking on Buttigieg, saying because he said that he won. Which is also weird because, like, how are you so sure? Huh? I don't know. Like I said, I'm not the guy who, like, I'm not that good. Like, there are people who I know who are friends of mine who are way better at politic talk than me. Did I call it polytech talk? But we can move past that, you know. Oh yeah, the Super Bowl was this Sunday, and this is fun. It's fun to also be sitting in the room. I'm recording this from home. I'm using my Corsair like headset mic, one because it's a pretty damn good mic, and two because I don't want to deal with my mixer and putting the XLR mic. I'm getting a setup upgrade, and when that comes through, if I ever have to do that, this, which I'm sure I will, Oh god, sorry, my computer cut off and I was about to lose my mind. But if I ever have to do this again, you know, I know that I'll have a better mic setup. But anyway, Super Bowl was Sunday. It was crazy. Jaquez from Culture Kings and I, Jaquez hit me up a few weeks ago, and because he came to my Carol Fest and like I think one more at like my Thanksgiving too, if I remember correctly. And so he knows I like to throw things at my place. Like, I'm real into, that's kind of been my new wave. And it's probably like some divorced as hell shit. Like, I need to surround myself around people so I don't get sad. But I've been having like lots of get togethers and parties at my house. And so he hit me up and he was like, yo, would you be down to throw a Super Bowl party at your place? Also, if you listen to our episode when Jaquez was on, you know I got the surround sound. You know my shit is popping. And he commented. So I got the approval from like someone who knows about surround sound from Jaquez. And so we were doing it here. And so Jaquez went all out. And this is also how I learned that Jaquez is a type A person. I'm a type B. It literally drives Danny mad with any nerdificent planning, because like I am definitely this person said they'll do it, so I'll confirm with them the day before. Like I don't confirm that. Also, just because like a lot of my problems are rooted in fear of rejection or fear of it falling through. Like, for example, I typically come late to places because I don't want to be waiting around. I don't like the feeling of waiting around. I don't like waiting somewhere. I just get restless. So I try to get there. Ideally, I would arrive places right when I need to be, but that's never how it works. You're either early or you're late. So, but because of that simple reason, I think it's the same thing where it's like, I'm so afraid of people dropping out that I tend to avoid planning things too far ahead, which eventually leads to me planning things too closely. But anyway, back to the Super Bowl party. Jaquez, you know, definitely wanted to, we wanted to get some wings from Harold because, you know, he's from Chicago. He loves that place. Also, I had it when I went to Atlanta, and I was like a big proponent. Plus, I was like, that's a real flex. Like, if you tell people, yo, my Super Bowl party is about to have some Harold's chicken, you know your shit's slapping. So I was real hyped. But eventually, we get there and he's like, okay, do we want to get the 25 wings, the 50 wings, or the 100 wings? And we ended up landing on 50, but it just gave me anxiety all week, because whenever you're planning things like this, that's the hard thing, is you got so many people being like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be there. I'm like, oh shit, I don't know if that's gonna be enough. It was the perfect amount, because just the median of people who actually come through based on the people who say, because it's one thing, look, here, I'm gonna come at you. There's nothing wrong with just being like, I'm not gonna make it. But nobody wanna say that in the city. Everybody wanna be like, okay, I'm coming through. And then the way you get they ass is bring it up a few days later. Like, okay, I'm planning this because you coming through. And then you're going to see the real answer. I don't know why nobody could just be like, I don't know. Or no. Or I can't come through. Everyone's always got to make it sound like you coming through. I'm like, I'm trying to get a real ass head count. This shit about to be popping. And we're going to get to how popping my shit was. Then Jaquez brings up ordering pizza too. Now this is when I was like, yeah, let's go. But he was like, all right, for this pizza, we should get it split up 4 quadrants, you know, and a flavor for everyone. Now I'm tripping out because I'm like, oh shit, why? Like, no, just buy separate pizzas. Why are we getting it quadrants? I didn't know my boy Jaquez was up to something. and his bro. Bro, Jaquise know what he doing. Like, if Jaquise forever, when we plan stuff together, will be on food duty because he know what he doing. So aside from getting the bomb ass Harold's chicken, my man ordered the Big Mama pizza. Little Mama, Little Papa's. You've heard me and Matt talk about it. You definitely have. We talk about it all the time. And we got the Little Papa or the Big Papa pizza. And that shit's gigantic. It's like 54 inches. And when it came in, bro, everybody had was Instagram storying it and all this. And, you know, I'm just resharing it on Instagram, not thinking. But I'm posting it up. Shit comes in. Good time. Right in the middle of the heat of the game. But, oh, the reason Jaquise is type A is this nigga really hit me up talking about some, all right, I think the pizza should come right during the second quarter, so I'm going to schedule it. Who the fuck schedules pizza? Jaquise does. That shit took me aback. I didn't know niggas just schedule pizzas. But he did it. And you know what? I can't even blame him because that shit did come right on time. Like, it was right when, because we had the Harold's chicken out, and it was right when, you know, when you get to that midpoint of the chicken, the midpoint of like catered food, when you're like, oh shit, it looks like we running out. And it's like, psych, bitch, we got this big ass pizza coming through. Everyone's storying that shit. Everyone's like, damn. By the end of the night, I'm like, you know, cleaning up and stuff, and I'm getting all these story replies like, oh damn, Iffy, I should have missed the part. Damn, I'll never miss the Iffy part again. Oh damn, like, hell yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. So shout out to Jaquise for that, because I feel like that's all anybody wants in their life, is to like have a party that people regret not being at. Like, that's all I want. I want to be known as a dude who throws like good parties, and Jaquise helped me do that, and it really was with his stellar planning. I mean, we had way too many snacks. Like, I'm right now sitting at my computer desk looking at all the leftover snacks. And just know, with the leftover snacks, I, A, knocked on a neighbor's door, and they came through, took some snacks. B, took a whole bunch of snacks, brought it to the writer's room I'm in, and left it in Crafty. And I still have 4 bags of snacks. Ah, shit, I forgot to put that queso in the fridge. I'm going to still put it in the fridge, though. I'm still put that bitch in the fridge. But yeah, 4 bags of stuff, and then fridge is just dead ass packed with beer. And that's the shit of me. I don't really drink beer. Like, I'm a hard liquor dude. One thing, here's the thing. I don't know how many people do this, and candy diners, if you're hearing this, let me know how many of y'all do this. But I always do the thing where if I'm buying like alcohol for the party, you get that weird like grayness of the purchase where you're like, oh, I don't care how much I'm spending on specific things because I'm buying it as a group. So I always buy like the drinks for the party and then like the drink I want for me. So I got some Japanese whiskey, and I always do the thing, and this can backfire. So I honestly don't recommend. I think if you want a certain liquor, buy that shit. But like this time it worked, because the thing I did was I bought all the thing and then my Japanese whiskey. And then, like, kind of had it posted up in the back. You know, if somebody, you know, I'm not going to be stingy with it. If you really, really want it, you can get it. But just don't be, I'm not going to have it in the front so you can be putting fucking Coke in that shit. And luckily, we had a party full of cultured individuals. Because, you know, my little brother and his homeboy came through. You know, they're younger. And then my homie saw one of them with Coke. They're like, you better not be putting no Coke in no Japanese whiskey. I'm like, thank you. Anyway, I got a whole bunch of Japanese whiskey left, so mission accomplished. And also I had some Ciroc, but I think that might be gone, which that's the one that always backfires, because I always, you know, I don't drink vodka like that, but if I'm drinking it, you know, I definitely want to be drinking Ciroc. Like, you know, like Jay-Z said, I'll be damned if I have Belvy while Puff got Ciroc. You know, we gotta support black owned businesses, which is why you gotta drink the Rock's tequila. Have y'all noticed that? How many of y'all are following the Rock? How many of y'all are following the Rock on Instagram and notice this man will not shut the fuck up about his tequila? And it works, because my dumb ass was getting ready to buy a bottle, but I couldn't find it in the Target. It's either the Target doesn't carry it yet, or he's trying to be fancy and don't have Targets carrying it. Which, really, if that's the case, then I got questions. Are you not for the people, Rock? Yeah, I wanted his tequila, didn't get it. But I've been really into this Espolon. tequila, mostly because I saw it on sale at Target once and I was like, oh, this is pretty good. So I've been fucking with that. But then somebody came through with the Jimador. And of course, you know how people be. They see a fancy bottle and then they just drink that shit up. Left my chief stuff alone. I thought that shit was going to work for me. I was like, y'all going to drink the chief stuff? And then nope. But then once again, that's how I say how that shit backfire. Should be backfiring. Very easy. I feel like y'all just find out what kind of cheap ass I am. I wonder if this episode is going to leave to a schism in the community. Like, will y'all be like, don't have Matt back. It's good just hearing you ramble by yourself. You know, this is just like Bill Burr's podcast, and I think you as funny, if not funnier. That's a lie, but, you know, I'll let you lie to me. I ain't afraid to let you lie to me. Ugh. I'm, like, losing my mind because on my show, there's an anime, one of my favorite anime, which is Tengen-tapa Gurren Lagann, and I've been pronouncing it as Tengen-tapin Gurren Lagann for years, and I didn't realize I've been saying it wrong until I said it on the front page of Twitch tonight, and someone straight up was like, yeah, I thought they did that fucking coy shit where it's like, oh, I thought it was pronounced this way, knowing damn well that's the right damn way to pronounce it. Like, the shit I'm saying isn't even how it's spelled. So I'm hurt because I've been walking around telling people that it's my favorite anime and saying the goddamn name wrong. What the fuck? Why? Has it anyone, like, not one person, not one of my weeby friends was like, yo, bro, you saying that shit wrong? Not a single one. Zero. I had to find that out from a stranger on Twitch. Just a regular ass stranger, man. Yeah, I can't believe it. Also, It's Black History Month. You know? Black History Month. You know, big old black... I just wanted a moment of silence for all the people who will be revealed to have worn blackface at some point in their life. Oh my gosh. Jesus. Ugh. Oh my gosh. Oof. See, this thing keeps cutting off. Sorry. I'm looking at, you might've heard Carl talk about his troll on, he has an Insta troll who just keeps coming back. And he's blocked him so many times. Every time he'll say dumb shit like, oh, you're not as funny as this guy. It's pathetic. It's the most, like, Carl won't talk about it, and I support him not talking about it because we really don't want to give this guy, but this is my podcast, and this dumb piece of shit idiot probably is never going to do it. But, like, this person is definitely someone who's, like, unhinged and jealous. Like, it drives me crazy because, like, it is literally the same type of troll every time. Like, it's never creative. It really is this. So it's a picture of Comedy Bang Bang 2019. And it's like Scott Aukerman, Mandzukas, Sean Diston, Carl, Zeke, Zach Reno, PFT, Will Hines, Lauren Lapkus, Drew Tarver, Gabrus, you know, the usual, the regular rotation. And this dork goes, you're not as funny as Gabrus, Tarver, Mandzukas, Tompkins, Lapkus, Baltz, Hines, or Aukerman. Which is weird because that means that he left out Sean Diston, Zeke Nicholson, and for some reason, Zach Reno. Somehow Zach Reno got caught in the crossfire of being a person that this person doesn't fuck with. But, like, it's so wild. Because it's usually that, where it's like, Carl Tart isn't as funny as that stuff. And I was like, dude, you are a pathetic fucking loser from wherever pathetic fucking loser town you're from. And you're just stewing mad because you think you're funnier than this guy. And you can't even come up with funny roasts. There's been some racist shit that's been sent to me that has made me laugh, you know? And it's like, if you so badly are like, I don't think you're funnier, then you need to be funnier than me. You need to at least make me mad at laughing at your shit. And you're just lame. You're whack. You're whack. Once again, we're trying to get lame out the vocabulary. That is ableist, and we're not saying that anymore. But you're so whack. Like, come on. Like, you're over here constantly making new accounts to try and troll. Like, Carl does not care. He blocks you and moves on with his life. You are nothing. Like, you just, but you're so pathetic. You have nothing going for you. You have no one in your life who makes you feel like you matter, that you have to attack strangers online in hopes that they react to the dumb shit you're saying. Which, like, to be honest, is even sadder, because for you to say these things hoping to garner a reaction lets us know that you even know that it's ridiculous. Like, you know he is talented, because no one would react as if it's something ridiculous to say unless that person was talented. So, I don't know. Jesus Christ. It's 2020. What are you doing with your life that you have to be trying to troll someone that does not care about you? And I hope you do, like, listen to this and feel good about yourself, because I want you to feel so good that you shut the fuck up forever. Like, dude, stop. There are, like, all the titties on the internet, and that's what you waste your time doing? Golly. Fuck. I've been a little depressed lately. We can get real. I mean, you can guess, but it's been weird because, like, yeah, there's been, like, some sadness I've been dealing with, but it's been, like, wow. I think it's been the stress of things. Like, I think it was that I'm doing so much. And I think it's just because my brain ran out of emotions because, you know, things have been good for so long, and I've been like this past month has been solid. So I think it's like, all right, you've been too happy. We got to balance this out with you being sad, because, like, I was like, fuck, you know? Like, it's weird, because typically I'm one of those people who just stay optimistic for no reason. And I think it might be a weird wires cross thing, because I feel like I've been optimistic and I've been going through so much bullshit just all these years. I mean, just this industry in itself, you know, and not even trying to be, like, bleak or negative, just this industry has a lot of ups and downs. So you get, like, a lot of humbling moments. And this January was a lot of home runs for me, just career-wise, gigs, life, for the most part. And so it was just weird to finally start up on these two gigs that I'm doing. Honestly, moving forward to be pretty good for, like, 2020 is good for me. I'm done. I've, like, locked. I'm, like, thinking about all the extracurricular shit I'm knocking out this year. At this point, you know, basic shit is taken care of. And I just fucking, it's been a whirlwind of emotions. I've been feeling, it's weird. It's like, now I feel like Matt's a dumbass. We're like, you know, just, I don't need people listening to the podcast. And, like, you know, there's certain people, you know, I don't need people to know. I might be referencing them and all that, but it's just been a whirlwind of emotion. And I think I finally got out of that, like, depressive pit. And I think the Super Bowl party helped. I think being surrounded by friends and family, I had, you know, my little brother and sister were here, it kind of got me out. And I think it's one of those things. I think when you get in a focus mode, you kind of isolate yourself a bit. And you only realize when it's too late that you've been too alone. And there's changes and shit. But all in all, fuck, now I can say that I'm happy and excited for things this week. Got lots of the rest of the show, the first show that tonight. Yeah, I didn't even talk about that. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know if we've had any podcast where I could reveal this, but I'm hosting a show called E-League Super Punch, presented powered by Twitch, which is essentially just a fun comedy clip late night show that exists on Twitch and on TBS. And I'm the host Monday through Thursday on Twitch. And we had our first episode tonight and it went well. The community was really receptive. There's lots of fun clips. So I'm super duper excited for the next step from here. And I'm really blown away because, you know, there are a lot I was able to get to do this due to a lot of dope people at Twitch who did believe in me and championed me. And that's, you know, that it's dope. That's why I highly recommend, you know, just being cool. And, you know, I feel like I hear a lot of times people will ask me questions about the industry and what to do and what to expect. And honestly, I always say, just keep doing good work and the rest will come. And it sounds so corny because you hear that shit so much. I mean, I would hear that shit and be so annoyed because I'm like, yeah. So what? We hear that so often, but it's true. It's true. If you just keep someone's always watching. And even if it feels like no one's watching, someone's always watching. And it's just the fact of you flexing that muscle of just being good at what you do. So no matter when you do what you do, you're going to be good at it. You're going to be well trained because you do it. And then when the right person finally sees it and they can get behind you and they can champion you and put you in the position to get dope opportunities, then you just keep doing the same shit you're doing. It doesn't even feel like you're doing anything extra. And then it pays off. They look good because they look like they have a good eye for talent. You look good because you look like you know what you're doing. And it's just all beautiful. So I don't know where you may be in your life and career listening to this, because I do think this is something that applies to something even outside of creative, even just at your job. Sooner or later, someone will notice. And if you feel like no one's noticing, then you got to put yourself in the position to be noticed. You can be the funniest fucking person in stand-up and improv. Unfortunately, if you're not in a position for someone to see you and put you in a position to make money doing it, then you gotta get closer to that. I'm not saying it's easy. It's definitely not. I'm not saying it's guaranteed. It's definitely not. It's a risk. But the words that I told myself that made me get off my ass and start going down this career was the fact that I said I would rather try and fail at this than to be clocking into work 30 years later and just beating myself up every day because I was just wondering what would have happened if I gave it an honest shot. What would have happened if I wasn't afraid and I actually went out and got it? Because here's the thing. Here's the real gag of it all. If you're already, you know, got the credentials to work your desk job, you can always come back and do that, you know? Like, there will always be desk jobs. There will always be people looking for administrative work. There are 9 times out of 10, there's always going to be someone looking at your position in your field, unless it's super duper highly specialized, which if you got it means you already got the credentials for it. So either way, you should go after what you want. You should do it in a level-headed, you know, way. I'm not telling anybody to like quit today and then drive to LA and see what happens. No, what I'm saying is do it. If it means doing little by little on your nights off after work, and then once that starts to take over in a big way that you can no longer sustain having a job, because that's kind of what I did. I was auditioning. I was taking time off to audition. I was doing improv at night and eventually got to the point where I wasn't able to sustain auditioning and working a day job. And I had to leave. And then I got a part-time job. I didn't just leave and jump. And I worked a part-time job for a couple of years until I started getting opportunities at Geek and Sundry and all that. And then when that opportunity became so big and so consistent that I had to quit my part-time job and they were paying me enough to sustain, that's when I left my last job. And I've just been doing it ever since. I try not to think of it. It feels like walking a tightrope, like don't look down. Don't because like you it really does get to that point. It's like you stop working a regular, you know, job and you've kind of just are sustaining your life off of creative work and you're like, okay. I mean, you definitely have to look forward. You have to make sure there's tightrope in front of you. You know, always checking on your finances, see where you're at. But, you know, I have not, knock on wood, I've not yet had to go back to, you know, getting a regular job, you know. And that's not to say there's anything wrong with having to. There was a period when I was going where I was doing creative work, thought I was getting money from it. Then that fell through, and then I had to get a regular job, and then I booked a thing. I had to quit that job, but I still needed a regular job, and that's when I started working for Pressed, and Pressed Juicery worked because it had a schedule that was flexible where I can call out if I needed to and swap shifts to make money when I needed to, and then that's the last place I was before I finally left. So I don't know. It's crazy to talk about things like this because you don't want to use any absolutes. You don't want to say like, oh, this, you know, this thing will happen and you'll never have to go back. You might have to. I know some people who have, you know, been on and off of like having a quote unquote day job and then a quote unquote creative job. This industry is fickle and finicky. You never know where it can go. There are people who have had writing jobs and have been writing consistently for 2 years and then haven't had a writing job for the past 10 years. So it really is just like enjoying the ride and not necessarily trying to find like the thing that says you're done. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Whew, I've been talking to myself for, wow, a little over 30 minutes. I don't know. I'm trying to see if there's any shows I need to promote. I don't think I have any shows coming up specifically because of this job. But I will say, definitely I want you tuning in to Super Punch every night. It is live on Twitch. We'll be on the front page. So just go to twitch.tv and you'll catch your boy. That's tight. Don't even worry about any URL. Just go to twitch.tv anytime between 8:30, 10:30, nightly, and your boy's going to be there. Simple as that. I'm Ify Wadi Way on Twitter and Instagram. IFYNWADIWE. IfD's on Twitch. And yeah, stay tuned. I'm sorry that there's been so many lapses in the episodes, but not anymore.